Hey, Tad Johnson is on the phone with us this morning, and he's got a brand new job that we are excited to talk about. You may be familiar with Tad. He's the director of the Tribal Sovereignty Institute, and he is the director of UMD's Graduate Studies in the American Indian Studies Department. His new title, he keeps the other titles, of course, but his new title is the university's first senior director of American Indian Tribal Nations Relations. Hey, Tad, congratulations and good morning.
Thanks, Lisa. I think they need to shorten that title because I'm having a hard time remembering it. The important thing to our title is to have a good acronym.
I haven't really sat down. We'll work on it a little bit. I'm sure that there's enough time. So I'm curious about a couple of things, and they may not completely match, and that's where the places where they don't match is where it's going to be really interesting. But I'm curious to find out, what does the university want from this position? What are they, I don't want to say expecting, but what are they really hoping for? What was the purpose behind creating this position?
Well, the idea was to build a consultation pipeline between the Indian tribes of Minnesota and Indian people of Minnesota to the University of Minnesota. And right now there's occasional dialogues that go on between tribes and the university. And at UMD, I think this is how I got noticed. We started, you were mentioning the graduate programs, like the Master of Tribal Administration and Governance. And there's a good acronym, MTAG, and the Master of Tribal Resource and Environmental Stewardship, which is MTREES. We started that MTAG. We did 2 years of tribal consultation, so literally going out, talking to the tribes one by one, holding meetings, different places, mainly on reservations. And then for the MTREES program, we did 3 years of tribal consultation. We listen. We spend time listening to what the tribes want, and that's how we developed our programs. But for the entire university system, there's no network for doing that that's set up. And so at one point, Patrice Albert, who was the vice president for equity and diversity for the Office of Equity and Diversity, asked me to help develop an advisory board with American Indians. So we spent 2 years, my friend Rick Smith and I, man, spent 2 years going out and talking to tribes. And what we discovered quickly was for an American Indian Advisory Board, there's actually a state law that allows for that. So if 10 students want to get together and form that, that's the state law. They can do that. The idea the tribes wanted implemented, though, was a Native Nations Advisory Board, so a tribal voice with the university. So there's actually 12 federally recognized tribes in Minnesota, if you count the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe, which is the umbrella organization for six of the bands. And they all wanted a voice that could speak directly to the leadership of the university. And that made total sense to me. So that's what we worked on for 2 years. And that is my first project to try to get through, because it kind of got shelved not too long, or it was totally rewritten. Shelve, and then a guy named Michael Goh came along, and he's the new vice president for equity and diversity. And I told him the story of that, and he was like, huh, why aren't we going with the tribal draft? And I said, God bless you, you know, that's a great question. And anyway, then, he and I got pretty friendly, and he ended up, we chatted quite a bit, and then this position opened up, and he urged me to apply for it. So I didn't really want to, because part of it was going to be moving to Minneapolis. My department was kind of like, hey, how are we going to run these? And I was very flattered by the fact they wanted me to stay on in some capacity. So they asked me to stay on 25% on the two graduate programs. And I recruit students and run a few other our summer CTAG program, Certificate in Tribal Administration Governance. So 25% of my time will be at UMD. But the good news is I get to continue to live in Duluth because we are closer to a lot of reservations up here, which I pointed out to them. I showed them a map of Minnesota.
that's got to be a moment where you're trying not to roll your eyes. Let's take a look at a map. Pull out your atlas and let's take a look at this. Let's Google Minnesota tribes.
Right. And so I'm going to be spending a lot of time on the reservations, which I enjoy doing, and getting their perspectives on things and bringing them back. But there are so many different needs on so many different reservations. And I was pointing out all the opportunities there are for the university. I was up at White Earth Reservation. And they said, all of our nurses just quit and joined the local medical provider. And I said, wouldn't it be cool if you guys could have a relationship with the University of Minnesota Rochester to maybe train some of your folks and send you some of their student nurses up? And they said, yeah, that'd be great. But there's nobody there to kind of make that happen. There's no conduit. There's no open chain of communication between, I'm sure if the chairman of White Earth made an appointment with somebody in the Twin Cities, they would get it. But
I think everybody's familiar, or may be familiar with the time that you, in essence, create the time that you, I don't want to say waste, but the time that it takes to get a good working relationship set up and get an efficient plan set up. And if your job is to be the guy that makes the connections, that makes the plan, everything I could see, I could absolutely see how things could work so much more quickly and efficiently to get those relationships in place and actually get some boots on the ground at White Earth where they need the nurses.
Yeah, and there are needs like that throughout throughout the 11 reservations in Minnesota. So anyway, my job is going to be try to build, and I'm, I think you and I are close to the same age. I'm looking down the road at possible retirement within a few years, but in fact, I think I'm much older than you, come to think of it. Anyway.
No, it just seems that way, Tad. Trust me. This morning, I aged another 10 years, really.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, yeah, I was just thinking as I was saying, I get to live here in Duluth, and I look outside, and I can't even see out my back window. So, smart move. I'm going to try to get as much done as I can in, within a few years, but hopefully build a some kind of network and maybe revise what the tribes wanted originally, which was a Native Nations Advisory Board, which they've already put together and blessed. And that's one thing. And then there's various other projects I have in mind, but I need to, get everybody on board first. But the one underlying theme is we need regular and constant and ongoing dialogue between the Indian tribes of Minnesota and the university. And that's the way I see my job.
I couldn't help but think that not that long ago, when we talk about when there are words like sovereignty and tribal nations, it wasn't that long ago that most Minnesotans didn't even know that Indian nations were still nations. They didn't know anything about tribal sovereignty. In particular, among non-Indians, nobody was particularly concerned with being respectful of that nation status. And it was just like, come on, let's all, we're all Minnesotans, or, we're all the same people, and we're all the same. Let's just get on board with our agenda, was sort of the attitude. And I can't help but think how much things have changed even in 5 or 10 years.
What's interesting is, and you're right about that. I was pointing this out to, and I guess I'm at an age where I don't mind speaking truth to power because I'm kind of like, what are they going to do with me? So I was in the room with the president of the university and the dean of the Humphrey School, and I said the federal government kind of had to do consultation with tribes because I was with the feds for a number of years with the Congress and then with the Clinton administration, and I got yelled at by tribes if I didn't talk with them. And then I spent years as a tribal attorney yelling at the feds for not consulting with us. And then came the state and Governor Dayton. There had been some sort of pro forma consultation executive orders before, but Dayton did one where he actually required people to agencies to do consultation policies. And then when Wallace came in, not only did he add all the agencies in Minnesota, but he put money behind his promises. And Dayton had originated the idea that folks working with tribes had to have some training. And so we actually are one of the things our department does is the training, the tribal-state relations training. And so far, we have trained 3,095 state employees. It's a two-day training. We only do it on reservations, but we basically go through 500 years of policy and explain why the laws of states don't apply on reservations, what tribal sovereignty is. And the most common remark we get after the two-day training is people are angry because they had never heard this before. They're like, I could never figure out why, you know, Minda, we were spraying pesticides and all of a sudden we stop at the reservation border. I could never figure that out. And, you know, all kinds of things like that. And a lot of them don't realize tribes are governments. A lot of them didn't realize that there's these special responsibility that runs from the United States to the tribes. And so we spend 2 years with 2 days cramming that into folks, and we've had a fairly good response on that. And now actually the university wants me to train some of the higher ups, and that's going to be a little intimidating because training college professors is sometimes challenging. So but we'll do the best we can. But that's they're going to let me continue to do that because that's been an important factor. And that was also part of our tribal consultation process. We went out and chatted with tribes. And all the tribes cooperate with us on the tribal-state relations stuff. So that's the kind of things that the university should be doing more with the tribes in Minnesota.
This is going to be really exciting, Ted, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to continue to talk with you as the position develops and find out more about what you're up to. In the meantime, you also have meetings to go to this morning, and it doesn't matter that it's a snow day. As long as there is a telephone, meetings will take place. So we'll let you go for your meeting. Thanks again, Ted, so much for joining us. Ted Johnson, our guest this morning here on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. In addition to his other positions as the director of the Tribal Sovereignty Institute and the director of graduate studies at the American Indian Studies Department here at UMD, he is the University of Minnesota's first senior director of American Indian Tribal Nations Relations. Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School, Duluth Campus, a national leader in improving healthcare access and outcomes in rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities.